Hello everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm Mark, by the way, and I've been on community for 2 months now, and I'll be leading morning prayers this morning. And thank you everyone for grabbing the liturgy, and we'll start by reading that. Noticing. Watch, wait, the day of God is at hand. Like the bud on the tree, God's possibilities are about to blossom. Stay awake, the reign of God is very near. We are here watching and waiting with hope. So tell me, why are we here? We come together to see God's presence. We come together tired, rested, sad, and happy. We come together to see God's presence. We come together with all our fears and hopes about who we are, what we are doing, and what lies ahead. We come together to see God's presence. We come together to enjoy each other this day. We come together to see God's presence. We come together this day to seek the Spirit of God, who gives us courage and strength to follow Jesus and live our lives as companions of God. We come together to seek God's presence. So we're going to have a little moment of Bible reading and reflection, and I thought, it's one of my choices, I decided to choose the parable of the lost sheep to look at the extract and to just to analyze it and see if we can take something from it today. So in your chapel Bibles, if you want to turn to page 1048, chapter 15, verse 1 to 7, that's page 1048. If not, it'll be on the big screen here in a second, and you can just read it off there. So. Begin shortly. The Chapel Bibles, page 1048. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Lord, we thank you for this passage. We pray that we can analyze it, help take something away from it today. And we thank you, Lord, that we are that you look over the lost and the broken and those that need you and those who are strayed, Lord, because we have all strayed. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can imagine, this is in response to the Pharisees who called out Jesus on eating with the sinners. They were filled with prejudice and wrong motives. But that didn't stop God's endless pursuit of those whom he calls. God is willing to go to extraordinary lengths to save those who have strayed. I love this picture here depicting the shepherd and the sheep and how in the light there, God, the shepherd, is over there and he's looking amongst the sheep, and the sheep is sort of aimless, doesn't know where to go, looking around. And I love this idea that God's just, he's always there and longing for us to be with him, desiring that intimacy with us. I love the fact that I sort of imagine that even if the sheep was on like a mountain or had strayed long and far through treacherous terrain, his endless love still draws us back to him. We are called to love the lost and the broken, and those that strayed from God are often deeply broken. They may have suffered brokenness in their home, perhaps the death of a loved one or something like abusive parents. Perhaps they have strayed because they were angry with God about their suffering. and they were deeply embittered. But still God pursues us over those trials and hardships and desires intimacy. I love this element of God rejoicing over the found and the lost, but found. The idea that in some distant realm, God is celebrating over our homecoming to heaven, that there is a party. He is not wrathful and full of hate, but as it says, that it is not my Father's will that any of these ones should perish. I love this idea that God puts us on his back, carries us way back to the security of the flock, back to where there's safe pasture and place to graze. It reminds me of the Psalm 103, knowing that the Lord is God, it is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now this story reminded me, this parable reminded me of a story about a boy that was born in Puerto Rico into a witchcraft family. And his life was one of severe mental and physical abuse. He endured so much pain, he was called Son of Lucifer by his mother. He was rejected and attempted suicide at the age of 9. And he was constantly running. He was never settled. If you want to move on to the next slide. That's okay, thank you. You may have heard of this story, The Cross and the Switchblade, at some point. Presumably, and this is... Whenever I asked about this story, people say that, oh gosh, yes, I remember that when I was 12, reading that a while ago. It's been a long time. In my opinion, it really embodies this notion of God's endless pursuit of those he loves. It really embodies his shepherding heart, that no one is too far gone. Even a man that that was a prominent gang leader, that lived a life of hatred and was consumed by all of it. And he was a man that his parents were fond of witchcraft and he was often so embittered by them that he could never find love, he felt. But despite being a wandering sheep, God did not give up on him. Please, could we go to the next slide? That's all right. Sorry, next one, if that's okay. That's great. Despite being the wandering sheep, God did not give up on him. He pursued him through the dark alleyways and crime-ridden streets of New York, where he was a prominent gang leader. Despite all this, God's presence was inescapable. He pursued him through all of this pain, where angels fear to tread, and desired intimacy with him. And I love this quote, that even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. That even if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God is always there with us. And I love the idea that society sort of rejected this man, and his own parents and family did, but God still pursued him in the toughest of his times, in the toughest parts of his life. We go on to the next slide, please, if that's okay. This is great. This is the idea. This is one of my favorite quotes from The Cross and the Switchblade. David Wilkerson here is the pastor. Nicky Cruz here is the gang leader. And Nicky Cruz says, "You come near me and I'll kill you." And David Wilkerson says, "Yes, you could do that. You could cut me into 1,000 pieces and lay them in the street, and every piece will cry out that Jesus loves you. And you'll never be able to run from that." When reading this book, I was deeply touched by the initiative of this man, this pastor, to pursue these gang members, these gang leaders, and to look for the lost and the broken, as we are called to do. I felt like God really understood the pain and suffering that this man went through, his life of turmoil. And still in all that, God desired to be with him. God desired to love him and use him. This is one of my favorite stories, and one that I often look, have to reread over and over again, because it really shows how much God's love is for him. The
The father of this boy, Nicky Cruz, said that he was like a bird without legs, that he was constantly flying and never be able to settle, never be able to return to Earth. He was just restless. And he felt that he would never find peace in his life. But when he turned to Christ, he felt that he was like a bird in the breeze. He was able to live life easily, and he was able to settle down on the treetops, and he was able to find rest. He was settled in his life and at peace. We're going to have a little time of reflection now to think about this story of the parable of the lost sheep and those that are lost, perhaps in our own lives. And the fact that God rejoices even the one lost sinner that strayed from him. And we thank you, Lord, that your endless pursuit of love has no restrictions, no boundaries. And you go into the deepest and darkest places. You can have a moment now just to quietly reflect on this passage here.
Okay, if we could go back to the liturgy, we'll speak out the affirming prayer. Spirit of peace, quiet our hearts, heal our anxious thoughts, and free us from our fretful ways. Breathe on us your holy calm, so that in the stillness of your presence, we may open ourselves to trust and be transformed. Amen. So it's a time of here of open prayer, but you can just pray quietly if you want. Perhaps I'll just pray over what we just learned here, and then also in the parable of the lost sheep. We thank you, Jesus, that you're able to save the lost and the broken, and there's no one that is too far gone from your presence. You're always there with us, even with those that are outcasts, even with the least of these. Your presence is always there, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to end, before breakfast soon, with the closing prayer that is on the liturgy here. Like the sun that is far away, but still close at hand to warm us, so God's Spirit is always present around us. We live, breathe, work, rest, and have our very being in you, God. Open now the windows of our souls so that we can see you. And when we see God, we are truly free to love, free to truly live, just as Nicky was. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Breakfast will be served shortly in the main restaurant, and I believe it's a cooked breakfast today, so I hope you all enjoy that. Thank you for coming, everyone. We hope you have a good time here.
and enjoy what's lined up for the retreat.